Last session on the Star Brothers, our investigators made their way through the salt marsh and found this derelict house that was being used by Otis Fry. They found in the ground floor a room that had been used as a workshop that had a bunch of electronics and strange mechanical things in there and projects apparently in progress, as well as stacks of pulp magazines and copies of Popular Mechanics. All of this, however, was secondary to the strange splashing sounds that were coming from down in the basement. And when the Major and Frieda May went down to investigate, they saw a pale form there under the dark water that had accumulated in the flooded basement. This form eventually revealed itself to be Otis Fry, who was taking a dip down there. And once they'd managed to get some clothes on him, they took him upstairs and had a little conversation, in which he mentioned that he had created this device, the Trans-Neptunian Telephonic Communicator, which he was hoping would reach out through the ether and make contact with his Star Brothers and bring the human race into contact with aliens for the first time, bring them into some kind of galactic brotherhood. Unfortunately, a lot of the details that he gave for this seemed to be taken directly from pulp magazines, a fact that Otis himself seemed to be oblivious to. However, he did say that the investigators had arrived at a very opportune time and had offered to take them out to see the Trans-Neptunian Telephonic Communicator, as he had now finished working on the last part of it and was ready finally to activate it. And so we left things as the investigators followed Otis through the salt marsh to this clearing where there is this strange device. There in the clearing is this machine. It is an absolute mass of struts of metal and wires and vacuum tubes and other bits of machinery that you can't really quite make out. You know, there's cogs, there's a little crank on there. There's, a slot that something seems to go into. But mostly there seems to be this aerial poking out of the top of it that Otis is now adding the bits of machinery that he was working on in his workshop to. And he pretty much scurries straight over and just starts bolting all this additional stuff onto the machine excitedly. And looks around at the group of you while he's doing so and said, You see, this is it. This is the device that will change the world. It will change what it means to be human. It will bring us into contact with such great intelligences like mine, which live out there, up there. And soon we will be reunited. We will be one with our, my Star Brothers, but I hope ultimately all of our Star Brothers.
This is incredibly impressive, but is this the first time you've turned it on, or have you done tests? Is it something you've put on before?
Well, obviously I've done tests, yes. I mean, I've checked the individual components, but this is going to be the first time that the entire device is assembled, is ready for operation. But it's all right. I mean, it's going to work first time. You underestimate my superior Neptunian intellect. I can see how all the parts of this come together and make a glorious whole. How they will puncture the very fabric of the sky and beam pure intelligence and knowledge out into the stars.
Nigel's going to spend the last two shots of film that's in his camera on the Trans-Neptunian Telephonic Communicator, especially if he got one where he's still staring on top. I'm going to load a fresh batch of film because this one so far is gold.
Oh, Otis, don't push any buttons just yet because, we're going to set up our camera and we're going to take up a 4 shot and then I believe we've got just enough film to take an after shot as well. So after everything gets going, we want to be able to record the full process.
Yes, of course. Well, I haven't actually flipped the switch to activate the power on this yet, and you can see that there are cables running off, and there's a knife switch which has been bolted to a nearby tree, and there appear to be a lot of batteries, chemical batteries, sitting on the ground around it. Until I flick that switch, the mechanism is not live. I mean, obviously, it would be highly dangerous for me to do that at this stage of the proceedings. I could damage it, I could damage myself, or I could end up, I don't know, possibly tearing a hole through the fabric of space and time itself.
Oh, that's so exciting.
And the whole tearing space and time, what does that mean? And then no pad out, Anthony's like, more concerned than like, this is a great story.
It's all right, there's no risk of happening. As I said, I have done all the calculations. I have plotted this out carefully. The trans-Neptunian telephonic communicator is highly tuned, is perfectly structured for its purposes. It will only direct its vast energies in the direction of the aerial up towards my star brothers. As long as that happens, we're perfectly safe.
And what will we expect to see when you throw that switch? Green lights, maybe?
Well, obviously, it will take a bit of time before we receive any response. I mean, that signal has to make its way all the way to Neptune, which will take some time. But immediately, you'll see. I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Let me just get some extra film loaded here and get my tripod set up, and we'll like to get a good shot of you after you flip that switch.
Could the Major glance over it? Is there anything that looks explosive?
Do you have any skills you think would help you understand the workings of the Trans-Neptunia telephonic communicator?
No. I would say that... none at all. Accounting?
I would like to roll mechanical repair to see if there is something amiss that might be a danger to us.
Okay, sure.
So I've rolled a 14 out of 30, so that is a hard success.
Okay. Well, yeah, with a hard success, looking at this, you can pick up a couple of things. One is that, yeah, it probably doesn't pose any real threat. There's nothing in there that certainly looks particularly dangerous or explosive. The worst that might happen is someone could get an electric shock off it, but even then, it's probably not going to be fatal. The other is that you're not really sure what the hell any of it does. There are bits of it that are mechanical, there are bits of it that are electric. There are vacuum tubes, as we established earlier. It looks very, very complicated. But it just looks like a complete mishmash to you.
Okay, well, Nigel, whenever you're ready, I think everything is safe and sound up here. Boy, I've seen a whole lot of things. I've gone to many a sideshows, lots of expositions and whatnot. So this is one of the most complicated machines that I have ever seen. And we are very fortunate to be here to see your superior intellect in action.
Well, yes, of course it's complicated. I mean, this is built beyond any terrestrial technology or understanding. This is beyond anything this planet has ever seen before.
So did you, like, just know how to make this thing? Or did you, like, get a mail order, like, instruction manual? Like, how did you learn this amazing technology?
Obviously, I've had to work with the terrestrial materials that are available to someone like me, but you cannot comprehend what it is like to be a Neptunian. The thoughts that I have, the things that I can see, the way that these ideas come to me, I think it is something that is innate to my people. And when I make contact with my Star Brothers and they can show me all the wonders that at the moment I have barely glimpsed, then the technology that they bring will transform the world.
So look, yeah.
Well, I'm glad we get to get a picture of this.
We might not comprehend it, but if you were to, like, you know, help translate into just, you know, regular Earth terms on a basic level, is like a radio.
Well, yes, it is. It is like a radio, I suppose, except not subject to a lot of the limitations of conventional broadcasts in terms of duration or even the speed that, obviously, the speed of radio waves is limited by the speed of light, but the speed of the trans-Neptunian telephonic communicator, it still will take a little time to reach Neptune, but, you know, far faster than the minutes that might otherwise take to reach such a planet.
Well, okay then. Let's take the photo and turn this sucker on.
Yes. Well, I'm almost ready. Almost ready.
So did you notice that trans-Neptunian telephonic communicator you can sing just along with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? So I was trying to abbreviate it to TNTC, and that suddenly occurred to me.
Oh, I'm gonna have that stuck on my head all night now. I'm gonna be lying in bed. And... dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Oh, God. Trans-Neptunian telephone communicator.
Get to talk to Starman.
Oh. Oh my God.
Oh dear.
Anyway, so Nigel was having a think over feet. He was thinking about feet. In particular, he was thinking about...
Oh, okay. That's really sorry.
Don't kink shame me.
Thinking back to the webbing that you saw on Otis's feet, then you're fairly certain, picturing the footprint that you saw in the marsh, that no, that wasn't Otis. His feet are smaller and they're not as splayed. And his toenails were a bit unkempt, but there was certainly nothing on there that looked like claws or talons. But at the same time, there's some slight similarity, maybe, that could be discomforting.
Oh my God, we got our first half to Canty. Well, I am at least a little comforted because, you know, it's like, might have just led us here to look at a machine and then gut us, so...
Wait, how does his feet not matching the other feet rule that out?
Well, I mean, it doesn't mean he definitely won't, but it does reduce my fear factor.
Okay.
On the other hand, Nigel hasn't entirely eliminated the possibility that Otis is a were-decanty.
A were-decanty?
Mother of God. I will probably check. What is the phase of the moon right now?
Oh, it is coming up to full.
You got to check Neptune's moons.
Oh, son of a bitch. I don't even know what that...
There's always one that's full, surely. They've got more than one.
Oh, God damn it. Planet completely covered in weird candy.
While this is going on, can the Major sort of step away and go and, like, have a look at the... I guess, like, across the salt marsh and just see if there is any sign of the bootleggers or anyone sort of approaching, you know, maybe his mother and anyone.
Sure. I mean, it's quite difficult to tell because the reeds are really quite long, but yeah, you can certainly give me a spot hidden roll.
Can he get advantage if he uses a pair of binoculars?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
A 58 or a 18. So 18 versus 45, that's a hard success.
Okay. Yeah, you do scan through the marshes and you don't see the bootleggers or Otis's mother. You do, however, off in the distance over towards the shore on the road, see that car parked again. The one that had the men in black in it. And there is one of the men in black who is standing beside the car on the edge of the marsh in the long reeds. And he's bending over and he seems to be talking to someone or something that you can't quite make out. But there is there in the long reeds some kind of dark shape squatting there in front of him.
And how far away is this?
Probably at least a mile.
So I'll sort of sidle up to the others, particularly anyone who's not near Otis, and say, I don't want to worry any of you, but I believe that we've got company not too far away. That car full of the strange brothers are about a mile away, just down by the shore. And there's something else there, a dark figure crouching down in the shadows. Again, I don't want to alarm anyone, but it looks strange.
As an aside, and not to interrupt the role play here, I did look up, based on the information that we have, my age. It would be Sunday, October 12th, for the full moon in 1924, and that's under the sign of Aries. So, careful, Yanni. Does the major, direct our attention in that way, or...?
Yeah, I'll hand over the binoculars to anyone who wants to just sort of move away from Otis, and I'll point them out.
So, if you want to go over there, Frieda, I'm happy. I'm going to kind of walk towards Otis and talk to him to kind of distract, but also, so as I walk over, so Otis, you're saying you're nearly ready to turn on. What more do you need to do? It looks like you've got power cables, you've got that impressive antenna, all these cranks and switches. What can we do to help?
Nothing at this stage. I am minutes away from activating the communicator. Minutes away. I just need to finish connecting up these two wires here and just make sure that the bolts are absolutely tightened, that the antenna is aligned. But I, as I said, I planned all this out very carefully. At this stage, all I really need to do is flick that switch there, he says, pointing at the light switch.
That switch. Okay, I'm going to get just stand over there and get a good wide view of everything. I want to. I'm documenting it for, the magazine, Strange But True. And I'm kind of hurried over towards the edge of a clearing, very much like a man trying to get out of a blast radius. Or potential blast radius. if Nigel's over setting up his camera, I'm behind him with a tripod, peeking out over his shoulder.
I'm gonna take a look through the binoculars, and I see the hunch larger figure in the weeds, essentially, right?
Yes, you do.
Okay, so I know the sun is going down. It's duck hunting season. And we need a distraction. So I'm going to pull out my duck call. And I'm going to give a loud duck call. And hopefully that should get the ducks to come up out of the area. So we have a nice big at the moment.
Are you still looking through the binoculars while you're doing this?
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. I'm a multitasker.
Then, yeah, you blast on the duck call. And the sound wafts across the winds in the direction of the shore. And, yeah, sure enough, a few ducks come flying out of the marsh. And the man in black over by the car looks up. And the thing that he was looking at turns around. and you get a good look at it. And whatever this isn't a person. There are these two huge eyes, saucer eyes, staring at you from through the reeds, and this mouth full of very, very sharp teeth, this glistening, wet, dark skin, this ridged skin, this inhuman shape that, hearing your cry, just turns around and almost barks back at you, and you can just hear moments later, coming across the marshes, this strange baying sound. Less of a sand roll.
Oh, that's a terrible idea. That's a 4 versus 75.
Okay, you're fine with this. Yes, you don't lose any sand.
What do you see?
Oh, fellas. There's a monster for sure out there. Let's take the goddamn picture and get back into the train. We only have the one damn job. So I'm going to run over, turn Otis around. Nigel, shoot it! Moment,
I think the binoculars are still around the major's neck as you...
There'll be time for photographs later, says Otis. Look, and he half pushes Frida May out of the way and says, I've waited too long for this, you understand? And he's going over towards the knife switch and getting ready to turn the communicator on.
I think the Major's going to wrestle the binoculars back and try and look in the direction of the car again to see if...
Oh, so sorry, Major. Oh, my God.
It's quite okay. Quite okay.
Okay. Yeah, you look back through the binoculars and the man's getting back into the car and there's no sign of that other dark shape now.
Whatever it was, it's gone. Maybe scared it away.
Oh, thank God. You know, I've been told before that I've got a voice that'll just scare any man away. So, you know, it doesn't surprise me that they've been frightened away by the terror in my voice. I've raised many children.
Don't believe a word of it, says the Major, like rubbing the sores around his neck.
And with that, Otis flicks down the knife switch and there is a sparking, humming sound. And the vacuum tubes in the Transneptunian communicator start glowing. The machine shudders a bit. And he runs over and you can see that he's starting to move cranks and dials around. And it's working. It's working. Can you feel it? Can you feel the change in the air? And he's looking up at the top of this as if he can see something the rest of the guard. Oh, my God, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. Yes. Yes, come, my brothers, come. Heed my call. Oh, this is everything I hoped for. Everything I hoped for.
I will take another photograph now.
As I see Nigel getting underneath the cloth, I'm going to actually take the time to do a circus pose. So I'm going to bend my knee, throw up one hand. Like, this is amazing.
Brilliant.
And I think the Major's in the photo, but completely unintentionally at the back looking. Maybe he's not doing up a shoelace.
There's like this big deal, and in the background's this guy just looking the other direction. Like an album cover where the band is never looking the same way.
Stick the pitch mode, yeah.
Now, Otis, you said it'd be a while before we get a signal back. How long is a while? Like 5 minutes? An hour?
Let me find out. And he goes over to another part of the mechanism. And he reaches into his pocket and he pulls out one of these cards that you saw before and puts it into a slot and then starts fiddling with some dials on either side of it. And the machine shudders for a moment and there's a sort of clunking sound. And he pulls the card out and looks at it. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, my friends, good news, good news. They have received the signal. They have received the signal. They've received the signal.
It's just a card that says, new phone, who dis?
Otis, are you going to be able to get a message back? Are they gonna send a message back to you?
Oh, it's better than that. It's better than that. Now that they've received the message, they're coming. They're coming for me. They'll be here. I don't know. It might take hours, but I imagine they'll be here tonight. Tonight, yes, tonight. You don't understand how important this is, how wonderful this is. I'm going home for the first time in my life. I'm going home.
So, once I'm done with my camera, because I'm sure the light is fading, I would like to at least get a chance to speak with Frida about what the hell she was talking about.
Yes, of course. So, you were saying, Nigel, what now? I was very distracted. There's a lot of lights here.
Well, no. Frida, what the hell was that? What are you talking about?
Oh, it was a very scary vision that I had. It was someone, and perhaps it was a man that was trying to spook us or something, or perhaps it was somebody that was doing some untoward duck hunting. I'm not quite sure, but there was just a lot of teeth and big glowing saucers of eyes. I have been working, not full-time employment, but as I need the money, I've been working for Strange But True. So I've seen a lot of strange and not a lot of true, some true, Otis. And so it was just a very scary, I don't want to, how about I'll draw it for you?
Okay.
We're all here in this conversation, are we?
Oh, I've never learned to whisper.
What you're saying is not just strange, but is definitely true. Have we time to be drawing the monster with many teeth?
I guess I can walk and draw.
I don't know if that was what I was suggesting, but okay.
Otis, I mean, obviously is working on his machine at the same time and monitoring stuff, but he can overhear some of what you're talking about. And he looks over, an almost wounded look in his eyes, and says, "But what? You're not leaving, are you? You're not talking about leaving now. Surely you, as journalists, you need to be here to document. This is." Potentially the most important moment in human history. This is the time at which my brothers up in the sky, up in the stars, come down and make themselves known to you, make themselves known to humanity, bring in a new age. You must be here to help me welcome them, to tell their story to the world.
Well, no, I'd love nothing more than to tell this story to the world. But, Otis, have you seen any gentleman with a big black car driving around?
Or giant saucer glowing eyes?
Yes, I have heard stories of them in the town. Yes, they've visited some of the same shops as I have, and I mean, between you and me, I think, yes, they're from the government, aren't they? They must be. They must be trying to suppress knowledge of what it is that's going to happen here today, of making sure that the status quo gets preserved, that their way of life remains supreme and isn't altered by what is to come. But of course, they can't stop this, can they? They can't stop a transformation such as this. They can't stop what the world will become. There is a new order coming in. This is a new age of mankind, a new age for all of us. They can try as they might. They can try, but their efforts will be for naught.
That's pretty rousing there. But you see, your family ain't here yet, and these government folks might have arrived at the party a little early. And we're actually just wanting to make sure that they, that they're not going to cause any sort of issues when your family arrives.
Oh, they can't be allowed to interfere. They can't. No.
I understand.
I suppose it's too late for them to damage the telephonic communicator, but... Oh, I don't want them making any trouble when my Star Brothers arrive. Our first meeting must be one of peace, must be an exchange of ideas, an exchange of visions. If they come along and try to disturb that with violence or threats or just negativity, then it could be disastrous. It could be disastrous for all of us.
Well, okay, then I tell you what, we're just going to just going to keep an eye on them because we don't want any disasters here. And you just wait right here.
Is the effect of this machine, does it match any of the descriptions we've had of like strange lights and noises and things like that?
Not in the slightest.
He said he hadn't tested it. He only tested the components. So this is the first time it's actually turned on. Don't give any reason not to believe him.
As far as you can tell, the only thing that this device is doing is, you know, lighting up vacuum tubes, clicking a few gears, and every now and then going ping.
I say, if it's sitting on top of this hill with all these little studded vacuum tubes looking like a carnival, I think we're going to be real easy to spot here.
Okay, Otis, we've got to think of a plan. If you want to have a peaceful reunion with your Neptune Brotherhood, well, we're going to have to tell some lies to the terrestrial folk, as you say. And number one lie is that you're going to have to say that your machine didn't work, that you weren't able to get a message out to your brothers.
No.
And let's go have some pie.
No.
It's going to be many, many hours until they're here. Don't you want to be well-fed and rested and waiting?
No. No,
I recommend that you say that you were actually trying to contact us, say, Italy. It's just a big old radio to contact, you know, some people in Italy. You got a pen pal there. I don't need to mention Neptune. Some of us terrestrials might not be able to understand such things. So
maybe say Naples. That sounds like Neptune, just in place of.
Oh, that's so smart.
Naples. I thought you said something else.
The Naples Brotherhood. How the gutter set now?
Right, so, hey, Major, is that car still over there? Is it like coming this way, or is it going away?
Hang on, let me check.
You take a look over, and there's no sign of the car.
Or how about this, Otis? In your superior Neptunian intellect, have you a better plan? Because at the moment we got plan A, and it's sounding pretty good.
My only plan now is to wait for my Star Brothers to arrive. They have received my signal. They will be here soon. That is all that needs to be done at this stage. I have worked for this my entire life, and I don't care what the government says. I'm sorry, I don't care what you say. I have lived my entire life for this moment, and nothing will dissuade me.
Okay. Let me just throw a little something into your triumph here. And that is, if you are a long-lost Neptunian young man, what if there is a long-lost daughter of Jupiter or something that's out here as well? And, you know, what if the thing that I saw on the reeds was actually waiting for you to call your brethren down and there's going to be some kind of cosmic attack or some sort?
Oh, no, there's nothing to fear there.
How would you know? You're Neptunian.
The people of Jupiter and Neptune are long-time allies.
Okay, but maybe it's not Jupiter.
But you said it was.
Maybe it's a moon of Saturn. Who knows?
But that's just ludicrous. Everyone knows the moons of Saturn aren't inhabited.
Of course.
Okay, well... You know, Otis, I just don't know what to say to you. There's nothing that's gonna, make me stay out here. Where there's a monster that's, I think, stalking you. And I'm very hungry.
Point number two, I'm very hungry.
And we're out. And point number three is that we are out of film. So we can't really even document. So we've got to go into the town, get more film, get a snack, and come back.
But At this stage, it is all entirely outside my control. My Star Brothers will arrive when they will, but all I can do is wait. I mean, if you must flee, then you must flee. I personally shan't judge you, but obviously history will.
I saw a man who was eviscerated, bloated in the swamp. I am fine with leaving, based off of what I've heard from my friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the moment, my place in history isn't looking all that rosy. I'm a journalist for Strange But True. Great magazine, but not sure it's going to be kept in the Smithsonian at the moment.
Yeah, you're worrying about your legacy, and yet you would turn down the opportunity to document the greatest moment in human history.
In a few hours.
We're just saying we'll come back with some pie.
Yeah, that's all we're saying. Pie and perhaps a weapon or two. Just kidding, actually, Otis. Just kidding.
Do you
trying
have a
to lighten the mood?
Neptunian defense system here, by any chance?
Trans-Neptunian telephonic communicator.
Oh, no. That is imprinted in my mind for... I will be in my 70s and that will come across my mind now, upsettingly. And I've forgotten the words to Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But have you got some sort of, you know... I don't know, like... A crazy star trident from Neptune that can, like, defend against the government. Or,
no.
At least sort of... Oh, okay, I'm being ridiculous.
Of course not. Neptunians are a peaceful people. We have no need of weapons. We live our lives by a higher code.
Understood. That was a ridiculous question, Anthony.
I'll just gesture to the others to sort of come away from Otis. And when he's out of earshot, just say, I have to say, I'm not comfortable leaving the poor boy out here on his own. Whatever that thing was that we saw, there's definitely bootleggers out for blood. There's at least one person that's lost his life in the last 24 hours. We can't just leave him here, but short of dragging him away, I can't see him coming with us, even with the offer of that wonderful pie.
Well, here's the thing. I think we're dealing with somebody that's crazy. And I think if we try to drag him away, it probably wouldn't end that well for some of us. So,
I mean, he does have gills. Who knows what he can do?
He does have gills, and that is rather interesting.
We are
but,
glossing over
I
that
don't...
fact. When it comes to
I mean,
oh no!
A lot has happened in the last 3 days.
I'm a fish monster. I mean, even if he is claiming to be peaceful, he's getting pretty worked up for someone who's peaceful.
Nah, ain't no peaceful fish. So I say we
tuna is quite peaceful.
What
tuna?
Man, I've seen some peaceful I've seen some mean fish. Tuna.
You know, if you ever meet a live tuna, or you just eat it out of a can?
Just out of a can, like a bully beef.
Well, I'm going to tell you, before it goes in that can, it puts up a hell of a fight.
Well, how does it fit in the can if it's a bit short? It's also, small, it's like an anchovy.
Also, I've cut my hand up pretty bad in those cans. I mean...
Oh, bless. Okay, so...
Wow, we have gone off the rails.
Last episode, yeah. My ass.
It'll depend on what you do. We'll be finished in no time, he said.
Look, if we're freed in the Major Say True, and we saw the big web footprint, and quite a very dead man, and well, all I got to defend myself with is a tripod, and maybe I could squirt some aqua velva in their eyes, but that's about all I got. So I was thinking that maybe you might want to kind of get out of here. Was that car coming this way, or did he say it was gone? Does he sound where it went?
It's not on the road anymore, and they were a good mile away.
And don't forget, Major, I know that you're not from this country, but we have something we call journalistic integrity. We shouldn't be interfering with old Otis, what he does or doesn't do. You know, we were hired to come down here, look around, we grabbed some photos, and, you know, the best thing to end on is a cliffhanger. You know, that's gonna sell the next magazine. So I just don't understand why we would want to stay here, get killed, never get the story, and never get our paycheck.
Irresponsible. You're right, I'm not from this country, but I'm from a great land where we don't leave our young boys on their own to face unknown dangers, whether it be bootleggers, sea monsters, or G-men. And whether you stay or go, I feel I will stay and defend this chap.
Okay, then. See you later.
Tuna or no tuna.
So you said you don't leave your boys with sea monsters, but what do you do with Neptunian sea monsters?
Oh, that's a good question.
If that's your British oath for queen, country, and the sea monsters.
I think the mage is going to reach into his pocket and pull out a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, shit.
with a trembling hand, he'll light one and say, "I just don't feel right in leaving him alone. I just don't think, journalistic integrity or not, that it's right and proper for us to just go."
Am I the only one who knows we write for Sad But True? What is happening? Can we just get in the train?
Sad But True. Sorry. That's a different magazine.
That's a different one.
I Moonlight for Lonely Hearts. Classifieds.
I bet you Sad But True actually has a huge subscribership
somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, it's strange but true. We've got the story. Moon Men, crazy. Lights, vacuum tubes, bootleggers. We can get,
we've got a lot of questions, but we don't have answers yet.
I can write answers.
Well, okay, so I'm going to look up, and do I see any, are any of the houses to where, I don't know why I'm talking like that. Are any of the houses to where we could maybe, sit on the roof or something from afar and see if Neptunian brothers come back? I just don't, I think that something is hunting this guy. Two, if the Neptunians do come, I don't think we should be there for that. That seems bad. But regardless, staying with this guy sounds really dangerous and, not a paycheck. So I just want to see, is there, some Highlander building we can get on top of and look from afar?
You are currently on about the highest bit of ground around here. There is obviously the house that Otis Fry has been using, but the upper floors of that looked pretty rotten, judging by all the missing floorboards you could see from below. If you tried sitting on the roof of that, you'd probably go straight through it.
Okay, so if this is the highest point, then we can just look up at it.
And wait for the crazy monster with teeth to get us. Okay.
Well, from afar.
I mean, I'm not going anywhere on my own. I saw what happened to people on their own in the swamp. Bootleggers get killed. People get lost.
Yeah, no.
I'm a New York lad. I mean, I'm not used for this wild, rough stuff.
Okay, Scott, how far away was the house, the rotten house with the basement swimming pool?
Yeah, it's only a couple of minutes' walk away.
Okay. And that was the closest structure to here?
From where you are at the moment, that's really the only structure you can see.
I tell you what, Major, could we just go to the house and maybe I could find a heavy club or a box cutter or something.
That's a good idea. Yeah, arm yourself and then return quickly. I mean, we have the high ground here. We'd be able to spot anything coming.
Like, I'm not against getting weapons, but, they had guns.
Okay, fellas, I've got a shotgun back at the hotel.
I'm pretty sure you had a gun with you because you shot down that... two of you took shots at the dark. Yeah.
There we go. So how about this? We go back to the house. We spend 10 minutes searching it for any sort of weapon, gun, mutant ray gun that we can find.
And we're coming to the end of the episode. Splitting the party sounds like a great idea.
Oh, who said split the party? Nobody said split the party. Nobody said split the party.
I was going to loop all our heads through your binocular strap, and we just move like a big old amoeba.
I said we. Good idea on split the party.
As a major, I think staying on high ground within sight of this young boy is where I'm going to be.
Okay.
Yeah. So just exhale after the words "young boy." It was so good. Oh man.
Oh boy.
Okay, so since we both have weapons, why don't you stay on the hill? I'll walk with these fellas down to the house. We'll see what we can scrounge up. And that way we'll be, yeah, it's only a couple of minutes. We'll be within sight of each other. So if we hear something going down, we can all run back.
Joe alone. Take that, Joe.
If you, obviously if you see anything, blow your duck whistle and,
Oh, good idea. I'll give it like three, just...
That sounds like every dog I've ever heard.
I have a duck call on my phone.
That makes sense, otherwise I might think it was a duck.
Yeah, exactly. I'll make it sound unnatural-like.
Do it to the tune of Telephonic.
Okay. Ugh. That is canon.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Okay. Well, let's go down to that house then. Let's hurry along. If night's coming and I got a mad fishy decanty running around, I'd like to have at least a sharp stick.
Okay then.
So was anyone staying with Otis, or were you all going to the house?
The major's staying with Otis.
So the major stays with Otis. As the sun goes down, you can hear the frogs croaking out there in the marsh and the few insects there are at this time of year coming alive, and just strange splashing sounds as the others disappear off towards the rotten remains of the house to search that in the dark. And Otis is oblivious to all of this, there in the ghostly light coming off the vacuum tubes of the telephonic communicator. He only looks straight up, his mouth just in this almost impossibly wide smile, as he points up in the sky and says, "You see now? Do you see? You see what I mean?" And shall we leave the episode on that point?
Amazing. I am very, very excited to see exactly what's going to happen. So again, thank you everyone at home for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this. And thank you everyone for playing. It's been a real pleasure. We'll do a quick sign off. If you want to get hold of me, you can find me on Twitter. It's probably the easiest way. My Twitter is @JoeTheGM. And you can reach the podcast @HWRPodcast. We also have a Discord, which is a huge hub of our all of our sort of fan base. And it's links to that in the show notes. We also have a Patreon. You can get all the episodes early, so if you want to listen to the next episode of the Star Brothers right now, there's a good chance it's on Patreon, so please do check out patreon.com/HowWeRollPodcast. Owen, again, thank you so much for playing. Where can people find more of you?
So you can find me anywhere on the internet at HowWeRoll. Owen is E-O-G-H-A-N. That's my handle on Twitter. I also stream live with some games on Twitch. I hang out regularly in the HowWeRoll Discord, the Does It Roll Discord. And I have my own Discord also linked on my Twitter. So, it's me.
Fantastic. And Veronica, again, thank you so much for joining us. Is there anything you'd like to share, plug, or mention?
Oh, yes. I'd like to, first of all, let everyone hear this duck call. And you can hear that and other very nonsensical things anywhere I'm on the internet. It's @TypicalVeronica. I'm most active on Twitter, and you can follow me where IGM Pulp Cthulhu for Welcome to St. Paxton. You can follow us @St. Paxton Podcast. Thanks for having me.
Very welcome. And Seth, again, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people find you on the internet and anywhere else?
Oh, well, you can... Oh, I need to get out of this voice. You can find me at my YouTube channel, which is just my name, Seth Skorkowski. You can find my Twitter at S Skorkowski. And our newly launched Modern Mythos podcast, you can also find me and John Hook chatting about whatever it is that strikes our fancy with investigative horror. And I think that is about it.
Amazing. And highly recommended as well. And last but by no means least, thank you so much, Scott, for taking us through this amazing adventure. How can people find more of your stuff?
Well, thank you very much. Well, first of all, yeah, I'd like to plug Modern Mythos as well, because I've been enjoying listening to that. So, yes, go off and listen to that now. If people want to talk to me, you can find me on the How We Roll Discord or the Good Friends of Jackson Elias Discord. You can find me on Twitter at sdorwood. Or if you want to listen to the other main podcast that I do, that is The Good Friends of Jackson Elias, which you can find at blasphemoustomes.com or, well, anywhere that you get podcasts from. And that's where I get together with Paul Fricker and Matt Sanderson. We talk about Call of Cthulhu, weird fiction, horror films, and other cool things.
Fantastic. And we'll be back very soon with the next exciting episode, which may or may not be the finale. We'll see how it goes.
Strange but true.